The galleon nuzzled to a halt alongside the wharf under the ministrations of the oared tugboats. Hawsers came ashore, tightened about the waiting bollards as the crew took tension on them, and an ornate gangplank, its spotless white hand ropes gleaming in the sunlight, was maneuvered smoothly into position. The final saluting gun thudded, the gun smoke drifted away through the sunlight, and there was a brief moment of near total silence, broken only by the sounds of seabirds, wyverns, and the voice of a young child loudly asking his mother what was happening. And then, as a slender, regal figure appeared at the top of the gangway at the entry port in the galleon's tall side, the trumpets masked behind Caleb sounded their rich, golden fanfare of welcome. Charlion paused as the trumpets sounded, and Merlin wondered if she realized the fanfare they were playing was reserved for the royal house of Caris alone. He didn't know about that, but his enhanced vision brought her expression to within arm's reach. He saw her eyes widen slightly, saw her head rise with even more pride, saw the color in her cheeks. And then she was coming down the gangway. No one escorted her. Her own guardsmen hovered behind her, their faces expressionless, despite an anxiety which could almost be physically touched. Thanks to the Snark, which had been keeping a protective watch over Charlion from the moment Grey Harbor arrived in Chisholm, Merlin knew she had specifically ordered her guard to remain aboard Doomwhale while she advanced by herself to meet her new husband and greet her new people. None of them had liked it, and indeed Captain Willis Garrett, their commander, had argued against her decision until she'd told him, in a most uncharacteristic display of temper, to shut up. And she'd told Sergeant Edward Seahamper, her personal armsman since childhood, the same thing, albeit a bit less forcefully. If, she had pointed out acidly to both her guardians, any of her proposed husband's subjects were sufficiently crazed with hate against a queen they had never even met to attempt a suicidal assassination in the face of all the guardsmen Caleb was going to have present, then no one would be able to protect her in the long run, whatever they did. Captain Garrett and Sergeant Seahamper clearly hadn't been concerned with the long run. They'd been concerned with keeping her alive right now, and Merlin found himself in ungrudging sympathy with them. Despite that, Merlin knew, as the Carisians' cheers redoubled in strength and volume, that Charlion's instincts had not played her false. As that solitary, slender figure made its way down the gangway to greet her prospective husband's people for the first time, the symbolism of her gesture was not lost upon those people. "She's got them in the palm of her hand," Merlin thought admiringly. "And maybe the best thing about it is that she made the decision first and got around to figuring out why only second." Nor was the gesture lost on Caleb. "Stay here, everyone!" he half-shouted through the bedlam of cheers, whistles, and shouts. More than a few of the people among the designated official greeting party turned their heads as the king's command was relayed to them. One or two of those people's faces showed resentment, but most of them only blinked in astonishment as he summarily jettisoned the entire carefully choreographed ceremony which had been planned to welcome Queen Charlion. "Get used to it, people," Merlin thought with sardonic delight as Caleb stepped forward all by himself. "These two are both bad enough by themselves where protocol is concerned. Wait until you see the two of them in action at the same time."